Give a brief talk on open awareness. When I say awareness, it also generally means mindfulness. It's basically the same thing. But generally awareness tends to be a bit more general and more open. This idea came to me at one time when I was in Switzerland and somebody asked me a question about open awareness. Then he was for a while confused because he had a different idea of what open awareness is. And so that brought up the topic of that there are many types of open awareness. This idea or concept of open awareness is of some relevance to practice. You can perhaps say that there are many degrees of openness. It is in the different degrees of mindfulness. The first type of open awareness is, perhaps you can say, the most open of them all. That is, we say the awareness that is open to any objects that impinge at the six sense doors. Something like anything goes. Anything comes, you just be mindful. Even this has variations. One is like being aware of everything all the time. Just like when you sit here, as you listen to me, you're also aware of everything that's happening in the room. So it is like a light that has been cast all over the room. The second type is a little bit more focused, in the sense that you're not aware of everything in the room, but what is most obvious that comes into your vision. Like a mirror, that anything reflected on it, it knows and goes. The mirror does not reflect the whole room. This was what the person was confused about, because he says that he thinks that awareness is just that which aware of the whole room. And so if any object that comes and he only knows that object for a moment, he wouldn't call that open awareness. Would you call it open awareness? But it's open to anything that comes. You can say it's open awareness. When you just sit and be open to anything, then suddenly a sound comes, you notice a sound, and the sound goes off. When the sound goes off, a pain arises in your body, and you notice the pain. And the pain goes off. It's open awareness. Only that the openness is a little bit more narrow, a little bit more concentrated and focused on whatever that comes one at a time. He does not choose what will arise. In that sense, it's also open. The first is useful when there are many things happening and there are many thoughts arising. So it is just like when you know there is the culprit, you don't know where the culprit is, so you send guards all over the place. And so wherever it arises, there's a guard there anyway. So there's no room for him to play his tricks. The second type is a little bit more focused. It's like doing one thing at a time, but you do not choose what to do. Whatever comes, you be mindful of it. Yes? You see, these are the two types of open awareness that come at the sixth sense doors. Then there's another type of openness that is a bit more anchored. You may not call it really open, but there is some openness there. And this type, for example, comes in the walking meditation. The nature of open awareness is that the concentration can be weak. It can be very scattered. Yes? Because you're so open, there's a tendency to be distracted. For example, if you do walking meditation and you walk right, left, your mind is centered onto the footsteps. You cannot deny the objects that come to your eyes and to your ears and your other bodily actions, right? Do you try to deny them? I only concentrate on my feet. You can try, but it doesn't work because the objects will come. If you deny it, it just merely gets into some kind of conflict. You acknowledge them, you accept them, but they are at the periphery of the attention. It's just like, give you a diagrammatic representative. Outside is the most external things, like the sound and the pictures, no? And then a bit further in the inner circle are your body sensations. Yeah? And in the center of it is the footsteps, right step, left step, left step. Although you anchor your awareness onto the footsteps, the other things are still going around. You do not deny them. You acknowledge them. They come and go. But because there's an anchor in the center, it is more stabilized. It is stabilized to some extent. When you do slower and slower walking, the peripheral objects become lesser and lesser, and the central objects become more and more. Then you go to another level where the openness is more controlled. It's narrowed down and more controlled. This is like the sitting meditation when you observe the bodily sensations. Body is like a field, open object, whereby many objects come and go in your physical body. Bodily sensations, tensions here, pain here. It's like a big window and everything is going on. So it is a bit more controlled and narrowed down, but there's still many things happening. Because it's more controlled and narrowed down and it's more just to the body, the mind does not become so scattered. It has a stronger concentration. Right? But it's narrowed down. So you can say it's narrower, but and yet it preserves a certain degree of openness. This openness is necessary for vipassana. to observe and see what's happening, the processes and the realities that are happening. In the narrow sense is when the object becomes really narrowed down, for example the breath. Here the rising falling of the abdomen is narrowed down further as if to a line or to a strip, something like that, or to a narrow point around here. And because it's narrower, the concentration is now more focused. But still, there are many things happening within there. Sometimes there's even sound going on. Sometimes there's tension, sometimes there's vibrations, sometimes there's rising, falling movements, staccato and whatnot. If you look at it properly, there are many things that are happening. Although it's narrowed, it is still open to the changes that are happening. The most narrowed form is the tip of the nostril. It's just one little keyhole. Because it's so narrow, and if you can follow it, the mind becomes one-pointed very quickly. Concentration picks up. But because of that, the objects are limited. And unless your mindfulness is very sharp and sensitive, you don't see much. You just see one, probably one sensation. Some pressure or some warmth that's going in and out. And so because of that, because it's so narrow, it cannot be so open unless the concentration is strong. What we tend to tell people, if you can concentrate so well this point, expand this point as if you go into the point and expand it into big. And that big point, small point become a big point, and you can see all the things there. That's why this object, although it can be very suitable for concentration, is not so suitable for vipassana. Because it's too narrow. Yes? But if your mindfulness has been trained sharp enough and sensitive enough to go into it and expand the small point to a big point, then also the openness is there to see what is happening. Yes? So, this will give you the idea of a concept of being the implications of a broad open awareness, broad field awareness, or the narrow field awareness. And the idea of being open apply both to the broad field and to the narrow field. Each one has their pros and cons. The broad field is many changes can occur, but it is not so conducive to concentration. It tends to distraction. Unless your mind is able to maintain a more stable sort of calm in whatever situation there is. The narrower it is, the concentration picks up faster. But it is it's more difficult to be open. And because it's less difficult to be open, insight development is more difficult. Ideally, the best would be this really narrow so that the concentration goes deep, as well as you can see many things within the small point. But this is slowly trained up, it doesn't open just like that. In general, we just do it what we can. So it moves from the broader to the narrow, broader to narrow, it depends on the situation. For example, walking meditation, you start with a broader awareness, then you narrow down. And if it's in concentration, you find that you are too concentrated and you cannot feel anything much, then you open the field to a larger field, like the whole body sitting and touching. For example, people who are so used to deeper concentration, tranquility without enough awareness of the universal characteristic, impermanence and so forth, then we don't let them go into this point. We make them watch the whole body sensations to develop a perception of the change and so on before we allow them to go into the small point.